Troya, I got to talk about how hydration is very important. I learned this recently. Hydration's not just for like running marathons and exercising and that. You need to be hydrated daily. It's daily maintenance, right? So if you're going to the airport or standing on the sidelines of your kid's soccer game in the hot sun, if you're on back-to-back conference calls, it doesn't matter, right? Proper functional hydration is essential. And Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Their hydration multiplier is the one product that you're missing in your daily life. Well, maybe not you, Toria.
It's true. I actually use Liquid IV. I've used it for probably almost 2 years now. It comes in so many yummy flavors. It's a little powder that you put in the water you're already going to drink. It comes in strawberry, lemonade, grape, lemon lime, pina colada, watermelon, so much more. It makes you feel so much better, so much faster when you need to hydrate.
And with just one stick of this stuff, you hydrate real life 2 times faster than water alone. So quit wasting your time with water. It's for losers. It's a loser's game. Plus, you get essential vitamins like B3, B5, B6, B12, vitamin C, 3 times the electrolytes of any leading sport drink, made with quality ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, soy. Plus, this company, they want equitable access to clean and abundant water for everybody. And to date, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. So, Toria, how do we get this stuff?
So it's real people, real flavors, real hydration. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use your code OhMrChefPod at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code OhMrChefPod at liquidiv.com.
Use it now.
The Flushing Girl from Flushing. The nanny named Fran.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Meet Miss Fine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the final 4 episodes of Oh, Mr. Sheffield, a podcast about the nanny. Hit sitcom from the 90s starring Fran Drescher. I am Sean DePasquale here with...
Toria Sheffield.
Yes, and this week we are talking about season 6, episode 19, Maggie's Wedding, written by Jane Hamill and directed by Fran Drescher.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know that.
I know you didn't, because I didn't either until I saw it. And I was like, oh, neat. Okay. Toria, what is this episode about? This was a weird episode, huh?
I know. I literally, my first note in All Red is, I have so many questions that we'll have to get
questions.
Into. I have so many questions.
Let's break it. Hey, we only got 4 episodes left. So kick off your shoes because we got time. Let's break it down. What happened?
We're going to dig in. This is the episode.
Hold on. Let me put on my diving mask because I'm jumping in.
Sean, no, there are sharks in that water.
Oh.
Yes. So this is the episode where Maggie gets married. And again, I just wrote what in all caps after because no, guys, she was not engaged before this episode. Yes, she is, I think, a freshman in college right now. Lots of stuff happened.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning. We've met this guy before, right? We've definitely met
Michael.
Michael, thank you. so small of a character that I barely remember his name. But we have met Michael before. Because I do remember the Jewish model, right? That triggered for me when she's like, oh, she's marrying a Jewish model. I was like, oh, right. Maggie is dating like a hot fashion model guy who's also a Jewish guy. And I remember Fran being very excited about that. That was this season, right?
Oh, yes, it was this season.
Okay.
You're like, God, it's like, can I just say, this is so funny to me. This is like when I try to talk to Kyle about like my friends and their like relationships or like, you know, it's like truly like, I'm like, yeah, because, you know, she's always been very, you know, very unsure about blah, 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 ever since blah, blah. And he's like, wait, wasn't that, who is that? Like, you're like not absorbing the like interrelational facts of these people.
That's like me with everything. Yeah, that's like me with everything.
it's just. I mean, I know. Hey, it just feels very stereotypically male to me. That you're like, who is this guy? Like, what was it this season? I'm like, yes, of course. Don't you remember? He has his own apartment and. But okay.
No, but that. But what I'm trying to say though is, we met this guy one time, and then we never heard from him again. And like, to be fair, we've barely seen Maggie, I feel like.
Yes. I mean, I actually think if this had been Yetta's wedding and they had somehow gotten Ray Charles back, oh, but I mean, that probably would have been like logistically impossible to just like keep grabbing Ray Charles whenever you need him.
Yes.
But there was more
also, I don't know, Yetta's letters, Yetta's wedding, so close after Yetta's letters, it feels like too much Yetta. You know what I mean?
Hey, impossible. Impossible.
It felt terrible as I said it.
Well, I think for me it was just more like if it had been like Maggie's engagement. Okay, but Maggie's wedding. But okay, but we'll get into it.
All right. Okay.
So basically we start off with Fran and Val in the kitchen. Yes. Fran is very pregnant now, by the way.
Yes.
The like most looks pregnant. Like she could yeah, the most pregnant. And she and Val are like having breakfast and Fran totally.
Hey Toria, are you on the wrong internet?
No, I'm not. I totally am on the right one. Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up. You sound like a robot.
I do? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh no. I don't know why.
You sound like a robot. it's very funny. My robot friend, Toria. God damn it. Oh, wait. Talk now?
Hello.
All right. That cleared up. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you just had like a weird thing. All right.
What if you find out I was a robot and that was a glitch? And I'm like, I don't know why that happened.
You were like, you had like your stomach open and were like fixing wires as I was talking.
I'm like, I'm definitely not a robot. Okay. But so then, so Fran finally spills the beans to Val that Niles and Cece are having an affair. Like, she literally, like, she's like, I have a secret I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but I need to tell you. And she also reveals that Niles had to go to the airport to go to a family reunion, and Cece is driving him in the limo, or, like, went with him in the limo. And as she says that, the kitchen door opens. Cece, like, it swings open, and Cece appears. Her hair is a complete mess. Her clothes are completely disheveled because she just got back from the airport. And she's like, Fran, tell Maxwell that the privacy window in the limo is cracked. It looks to me like someone's heel went through it, maybe. And then she literally limps away. Like, damn, they be boning. Okay.
Yo,
like,
season six does not disappoint. They really figured out a way to mention someone having sex in almost every single episode of this season. It's truly remarkable.
Yeah. And I don't enjoy thinking about Niles having sex. That's something that I realized this episode. And I also wondered where Daniel
really?
Davies
was. But it doesn't – Cece having sex doesn't bother you. It's just Niles?
Yeah, I would say so. To me, Niles, like, as much as we've, you know, had this arc with him this season, he sort of feels asexual. But again, like, had they made him, like, a gay character, if this had been, like, a more – you know, had they been able to and it wasn't, like, the 90s, I also could have seen that. He's just, but
interesting.
But also, I wonder where Daniel Davies was this week. That's another question I had.
Right. Giving birth.
Oh, right. We then cut to the living room, and Maggie and Michael are there. They are making out. And then he turns to her and he's like, Maggie, I've got something to tell you. I got that modeling job in Japan. And he's like, and your parents are not going to like what I'm going to say next. And just as he says that, both Fran and Maxwell like happen to both be walking by in the background, and they both stop when they hear that. And then he goes, I'm leaving in 5 days and I can't stand the thought of us being apart for a whole year. Will you marry me? And he like gives her a ring. And
this is,
I wrote,
oh my God. Yes.
I went, first of all, can't they long distance date? Like,
it's one year.
And then, like, and then, like, and or if and like, couldn't they just be engaged for that year? Maybe if worse came to worse, she could like take a year off, but they don't get married. Like, why is this the solution?
How strong could this relationship be if he's like, I can't leave you for 1 year without imagining this whole relationship falling apart. So you have to come with me to Japan and marry me. And frankly, why couldn't she just go to Japan as his fiance? Why do they have to get married in 5 days before they go to Japan? None of it makes any sense.
And also, like, zero discussion on what this means for her studies. Like she's at Columbia University. I'm just...
No, and it's great because this is clearly, like, a very 90s... I mean, it's clearly the 90s because, like, yeah, she has no, like, she doesn't go, like, but I'm in school and I'm studying and I need to have, like, an education and a life and a job and I have interests. She's just like, oh, of course I'll marry you and move to Japan and be your wife.
Do you know what this also reminds me of? Did you ever, you probably didn't see My Best Friend's Wedding, right? With Julia Roberts.
I saw that movie. What do you mean? Everybody saw that movie.
So
I say a little prayer for you.
But you know what? A detail that I always forget until it's like on TV again is that the guy, whoever he is, I forget his name. He gets engaged to Cameron Diaz, who is leaving. She's a junior at Brown and she is dropping out to marry him. And that's just like a little footnote detail.
Wow.
And like when I watch that, I'm like,
like, right? You go like, whoa, she's dropping out of Brown?
Like my mind, I'm like, steam comes out of my brain where I'm like, how is this not a bigger, that should be the very problem.
That's the movie. That's the plot. That's the plot of the movie. Like the movie isn't anything else other than, oh my God, this girl's going to drop out of school to marry this dude.
1 year to go. Oh my God. All the money wasted.
That's crazy. Okay.
So he proposes and Fran jumps in and she's instantly like, yes. And Mr. Sheffield jumps in and he's like, no. And I
was, this is one of the first times where I was with, yes, one of the first times where I was like, I'm 100% agree with Maxwell here.
Dude, me too. 100%. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's like this whole sequence where Mr. Sheffield's just like, no, it's not happening. You're not getting engaged. And while he's saying that, literally like Sylvia walks in and Fran's like, Ma, Maggie's engaged. And like other people, Val walks in and everyone's sort of just like, oh my God. Okay. The ring is beautiful. Oh, we need to get you a dress. And like, all the women have sort of descended and are just like completely ignoring Maxwell's protest and are just like, okay, they're grabbing their coats. They're already heading out to this or that. And then we cut to Val's car and Sylvia, well, Val is driving. This was hilarious, actually.
This is the, first of all, Val's car is amazing.
It's so funny. Like literally like Fran's like, oh, can someone roll the window down? And Maxwell tries and Val's like, and then the thing that you use to like the lever pops off. And Val's like, oh yeah, that's not going to work. And then Fran's like, oh, I'm a little hungry. And then Val hands the window lever back to Maxwell. And he goes, I thought this doesn't work. And she goes, not for the window, but it's perfect for prying open the glove compartment. There's some Captain Crunch in there. So then he does that. And then he's like, there's not a box of Captain Crunch in here. And she goes, oh no, no box. It's loose. That was the highlight of the episode for me. But they're all in the car, it's like, you know, Sylvia and Fran are talking about like what, you know, they're going to have at the wedding. Like, oh, she's like, oh, I want a little Cupid peeing champagne and I want this and that. And Maxwell's still going like, no, no, this is not happening. And he's like, there's absolutely no way. We then literally cut to the dress shop and Maggie is trying on dresses. So it's like the joke is just that like, they're going to go through with this regardless. Right. And she's not waiting for his approval. And at the bridal shop, which is supposed to be, I think, the same bridal shop that we sort of started the whole series out with, where Fran got booted. It's so funny. Maggie is trying on these dresses. And then Val looks at Fran and she goes, isn't it crazy? Remember when you brought Maggie here all those years ago? You were just the nanny and I was working here behind the counter. Now you're married, you have a family, and I work at a donut shop 6 blocks closer to the subway. And she's like, when you wish upon a star. It was so funny. I loved it. Everything. That was to me like a highlight.
And yeah. They also earlier, they bring up Melissa Rivers' wedding dress, which I thought was like such a quintessential 90s reference. Like, because like Joan Rivers was, Joan Rivers was a comedian, a very funny lady, queen of comedy, as it were. And then eventually she got older and then she started becoming like a fashion comedy commentator on E!
And kind of like a roaster, like a fashion roaster. Very like mean comedy.
they would send her to the red carpet and she would be like, you know, kind of like busting everybody's balls about what they're wearing. And then that led into her getting her own kind of show on E. And then she brought her daughter, Melissa, in, and Joan and Melissa would kind of like, Melissa was like younger and nicer and Joan was Joan. And then the world became briefly obsessed with Melissa Rivers for some reason. It felt very manufactured even at the time. We get a very like specific Melissa Rivers wedding dress reference here, which feels lost to the sands of time.
I know it does. But the thing that was funny about this joke was like the woman at the dress shop was like, this is an imitation dress of the one that Melissa Rivers wore. So it's like, it's not even like by the same designer or the same dress, but they're like, oh, like they're still
it's
so
a knockoff Melissa Rivers dress and they're still super impressed. And it's just really funny that like that joke took no setup in the 90s and basically is meaningless words now, right? Like you wouldn't know unless you lived through it. Would you ever know who Melissa Rivers was? She's completely irrelevant now.
Yes, but knowing the reference, it was a very good joke. Like it was a great joke.
Yes. No, it was a great joke. That's why I highlighted it though, because it's so interesting to me how like a perfect joke, because it's a perfect joke, right? It's a very, very funny reference. It's like perfectly referential for the time. Not too much setup is needed, but it's like almost meaningless words now if you don't know the reference. It's really interesting. Yeah.
The sands of time, you know, it's depressing. Yeah.
It's really crazy. Yeah. Right, well, I'm sad now.
and then in this scene at the dress shop, we then do a flashback to that original scene in the dress shop from the pilot
episode. I got nervous
episode.
This was going to be a clip show.
No. Well, I was just like, oh my gosh, like look at how Fran's makeup was different back then and Maggie was so young. And it was that really beautiful scene though where Fran's like, oh my gosh, you're going to look gorgeous in this dress. And Maggie's like, oh, but like everyone's going to be looking at me if I wear something like this. Cause you know, she's had no mothering. She's had like no mom to like guide her through this really awkward like part of adolescence. And Fran's like, maybe everyone will look at you and they're going to see a beautiful girl. And like, just like, that was a really beautiful pilot insert. And it reminded me of like, oh yeah, like, you know, Maggie coming down the stairs and, you know, just infusing life into these kids. But so it was a nice little callback.
And I thought it was really also, to your point, you know, that pilot is so good that like when we started this podcast, we were kind of half tongue in cheek. And then both were so blown away by how solid the pilot was that we immediately were like, oh, we're 100% invested in doing this.
Yeah,
this is a really good pilot. Yeah. So great writing is great writing.
And
okay.
So then the next scene, Mr. Sheffield is sitting
outside.
Well,
you get that really funny bit at the end of the scene where at the very end of that last scene, you just hear off camera, do you think it'd be rude if I wear this? And they all look and Sylvia's in a wedding dress.
Yes.
She's just in a full like white wedding dress. She looks great.
Yes. But like, well, she also had a line when they were still back at the house where when Fran's like, Maggie's getting married. And she's like, oh, I've never been this thin in wedding pictures. It has to happen fast.
so silly.
Then also so realistic where like Margaret Cho used to have this great, very relatable bit to anyone who lived through like the horrible 90s diet culture, where she used to say she was describing how she would go on these absurd fad diets, lose a ton of weight, and then feel like she had to bang as many dudes as possible or as many people as possible because she was like, it's
while
like
she
Cinderella.
Was skinny.
Yeah, and be like, you know, because she knew, you know, at midnight she turned back into a pumpkin. That's and it was great. So relatable to anyone who like has yo-yo dieted and been through all that like grueling nonsense.
Same girl.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Next scene, we cut back to the mansion, and Mr. Sheffield, he's like sitting outside, like literally like sulking, like kind of his head in his hands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first Fran checks in on him and is like, you know, honey, if you just stop yelling and actually listen to Maggie, I think you'll realize that, you know, like she's following her heart and this isn't bad. And then he's like, but if I talk to her, I'm just going to, you know, look into those eyes and I'm not going to be able to refuse her. And Fran's like, that's what we're counting on. Honey, come on over here. Then she like ushers Maggie over. And then Maggie sits down next to him and she's basically like, she goes, Dad, she's like, Daddy, I don't also, God, you know, girls over 11 saying daddy always freaks me out. But so
I agree.
She's like, you know, Daddy, I don't think you understand how Michael and I really feel about each other. And, you know, like, why wait when you know? And then she kind of tries to break it down into like language he'll understand. She's like, you know, it's like when you read a script and you just know it's going to be a hit. And she's like, well, except when you passed on Cats. But she's like, Michael is my Cats. And please, like, don't make me pass on this one. And again, I wrote, you don't have to pass. You just wait a year. And I go, if you guys are really so good together, you should definitely be able to make it through a year.
Which should have been Maxwell's line there, right? It should have been, honey, I get it. And I like him. And he's a great guy. And he's successful at a young age. And it's all great. Like, you only have to wait like a year. Like, so make this work, figure it out. I'm a rich man. I'll pay for flights. You can fly back and forth and visit him. And, you know, I'll help you make this work, but I don't want you to do something that you're going to regret and shoot yourself in the foot because school is important. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, well, so it's like she says that to Mr. Sheffield and he's like, you really do love him, don't you? And then he's like, well, like, you have my blessing, like whatever.
I was screaming.
I know. I think it just
this man should not be allowed to have children.
Yeah.
It's a terrible father.
Well, but you know what? Hey, there's also a bunch of other perspectives because I think I have some friends who didn't grow up with parents that like were really so much like you need to go to college. And they'd probably be like, whatever. She's a rich heiress. Like, college was going to really do nothing for her anyway. Like, she was probably just going to like get that degree and then eventually go like, you know, travel through Europe and then like, you know, not do anything for real anyway. So, so maybe there's also some practicality in that.
I mean, I'm really glad. I don't even have to ask to know what Elizabeth's opinion on this would be. We both value like education immensely, even though I didn't go to college. We really value it. And I think that when it came to like our children, this wouldn't even be a question for us. I don't think. So, I think it's like, obviously we would say what I just said Maxwell should have said and encourage our child to just like do both. Like, you should have your education and be able to support yourself on your own without being married to somebody for that support, you know? And without depending on daddy's money too, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true. It is true.
Yeah. So then we have the crazy Yetta interaction.
Yes. So we got to the actual wedding day 5 days later. Yetta sees Cece and she pulls her aside and goes, thank you so much for inviting me to your wedding. She clearly thinks Cece is Maggie, which makes a lot of sense. And then she goes, also, did you hear about Miss Babcock and the male maid? Referring to Niles as the male
maid.
It made me laugh so
So I wrote it down and I underlined it. It's so funny.
It's so funny. And then it's like, he kind of is a male maid, so I don't know why it's so funny. But so then Cece's like, Cece's like, what do you mean? And she's like, apparently she's doing the horizontal. Apparently Franny and her husband walked in on them doing the horizontal horror. and then Cece's like, where? The kitchen, the closet, the limo, Walmart? Meaning they have been having sex all over that dang town in that house. And then Yetta's like, I don't know. And she's like, but if they're looking for new places, I recommend the aluminum sheds at Home Depot.
So gross. What?
So funny. But this also causes Cece to like quickly dial Niles on the phone. She's like, Niles, they know. And she's like, I don't know how, but we need to go to Home Depot when you're back. And then this next part sends this episode off into a whole new direction.
Yes.
Which I'm like, is this the A plot? Is it the B plot? Don't even know. Because Michael arrives. Michael arrives for his own wedding. And he starts talking to Fran and Maxwell. And Fran's sort of like going over like the seating charts, or not the charts, but those little what are those things called where it says like the names and the table seating number?
Like seating cards. It's like, see, they're called seating cards. I know this because I made them all for my wedding.
No, I was just about this. I was going to be like, Sean will know what they're called.
I personally made them. We printed them. I designed them. That's what happens when you're broke.
So Fran's like, oh, you've got someone on your side named James Brolin. And Michael's like, oh, yeah, my cousin. And she goes, oh my goodness. And he's married to a Barbara. Oh, they must have so much fun with that. And then he's kind of like, well, kind of. And then Fran just thinks it's coincidence. And then she realizes that it's the James Roland and that the Barbara is Barbara Streisand, and that Michael's cousin is married to Barbara Streisand, and that they are going to be at the wedding imminently.
Yes.
Fran gets so excited. And this was some very funny performances on Fran Drescher's part for like the remainder of this episode. She gets so excited, but she starts going into labor. And she's like, Max, like Barbara Streisand is going to be at this house. And I'm going to be related to a Streisand. And she's like, I think, and he's like, what do you think? And she's like, I think I'm going into labor. And then he literally starts to try to drag her out of the house. She is clawing like at the door frame. She does not want to go. She's like, no, I'll have them here. It'll be fine. She's like, we'll not go. But he gets her. The next thing we get to her in a hospital bed, and the doctor's telling her that it's like a false alarm. You know, they were just sort of like phantom contractions, but he does want her to stay overnight. Fran is distraught. She wants to get back to the house ASAP. And Maxwell actually gets off the phone. He's just been like talking to Yetta, who's incredibly confused, but other people at the house. And he's like, okay, darling, it's been decided. Like, they'll just have the reception now, and we're going to bump the ceremony for tomorrow so you can be there. And she's like, no, I need to get there. And then he kind of like calms her down. And is like, you know, that like, for your own good, you should stay here. And she's like, okay, you're right. And she's like, you're such a good husband, you take such good care of me. And then she's just so manipulative and such a, she's like, you must be so hungry, you know, have you even eaten today? You've been worrying about me. And he's like, you know, I guess I'm a little hungry. He's like, how about I go pick us up some dinner? And she's like, oh, you're the best. The second he's out of the room, she flings off the blankets, like throws on her shoes and coat and runs out. And she's just like, she's like, he's wonderful. She's like, but I'm a person who needs people, which is a Barbara Streisand reference.
It is.
And she gets back to the house. She flings open the door. The house is completely empty. And she's like, Baba. And then the phone rings and she picks it up and it's Max. And he's like, you're going to be really mad at yourself. And she's like, because I arranged a surprise for you here. We cut back to the hospital room. The entire wedding party is there, including Barbara, played by a Barbara Streisand impersonator, who's lip syncing pretty badly. they did a very like it was a very specifically unsynced job.
It was pretty bad.
And I looked it up. So this, I was like, is this like a Barbara Streisand like impersonator professionally? I don't know. Her name is Lauren Michaels, and she literally only has one other minor credit to her name. So I wonder where they found her.
I don't know, but not a great lip sync job. Yeah, listen, you do what you do. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, please, just a footnote. I'm just being.
It was very cute, though. I mean, it came out of left field a little bit, but I thought it was like a cute little comedic, you know, kind of French farce. You know, she runs there and they go there. I thought that was cute.
Yes. And then we cut to the next day. We're at the ceremony, which you know, had got postponed. And Maggie and Michael are getting married. Though, again, Barbara and James Brolin, like, couldn't be here for this. They could only be there for the day before. And then it gets revealed during the ceremony that Barbara Streisand had sung even more songs the day before when she was at the house. And Fran, like, the look on Fran's face, like, she's clearly, like, so upset by this. And as they, you know, process out after the ceremony, Fran just goes, "I'm so glad I'm pregnant." And then Maxwell's like, "Why, darling?" And she goes, "It's the only thing stopping me from killing myself." and then that's her only comment. And
then it's so good.
It's the end of the episode. She says it. It's so funny the way she says it.
Oh,
she
just goes, "I'm funny.
So glad I'm pregnant."
It's so freaking good. And
then the bun is just a blooper between Fran and Val, where, like, they can't get their lines right in the kitchen. It's just very cute. And that was the episode. It was like the episode's Maggie gets married and Fran Dalton get to meet Barbara Streisand.
I know. And I guess that's it. Maggie's moving to Japan.
Maggie. Yeah. I'm just, what is happening?
I don't know.
What is happening?
Listen, it was an interesting episode. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, there was parts of it that I thought were very funny. Like, you know, it's the writing is still very funny. It's just I was like, I don't like that this happened to Maggie. But the thing is, it's like, part of me is like, oh, we're overanalyzing. Like, it's just a funny episode. But, like, I guess that's what we do. We literally have a whole podcast, so we are going to overanalyze.
Yes. We got to fill the time. I mean, so I don't, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to rag on the episode. I do think that it felt a little left field. I think it's not what I would have encouraged as a parent personally. And I guess if they had more than 22 minutes, they maybe would have had like an extra scene where maybe there's some discussion of some of that. That was the only thing that really felt missing to me is I wish Maxwell, as the voice of reason in this episode, would have at least expressed more than just being like, "No, I don't want it." And then going right to like, "Okay, if it makes you happy." I wish there had been like a sort of like, "Hey, I really want you to do this." And because they also could have said, Maggie could have been like, "Well, I've already transferred to a school in Japan and I'm going to finish out," or did online exist?
Here's an alt version. Okay, here's my alt version.
Okay.
The episode is, you know, him proposing. And then it is like the conflict between Maggie and Mr. Sheffield. And, you know, sort of similarly to, I forget which episode it was where, I think it was that, like, you know, the episode where Maggie like didn't want to go to college and she wanted to like follow that woman to Paris. And then in the end, Fran was like, "I don't want you to do something you're going to regret." And she ended up making like the smarter decision, right? Okay, so it would kind of parallel that, but it's like she wants to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the episode, she is like, "You're right. Like, you know, Michael and I have just decided to be engaged, or maybe he gave me a promise ring and and I'm going to finish school." And then Michael says something like, "Yeah, it's too bad because, you know, had we gotten married before I left, you know, we would have been able to have my cousin Barbara Streisand and James Brolin here." And then Fran would have been like, "What?" And like, that would have been the end of the episode. Yeah. Like, you still would have gotten joke. Yeah, you would have gotten the joke of her being like, "Oh, they didn't get married and I didn't get to meet Barbara."
Right. But like, you don't. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. All right. Well, listen, hire us for the reboot. We're available. Podcast is going to be ending soon. So, we've got to get into some segments, Toria. We got it. Mm-hmm. We've got to. So, you ready for segments?
Yeah, hit me.
And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria.
Ooh. Moody and electronic.
Yeah.
All right.
What is the genre?
That's like electronic music, I guess. I don't know. Listen, I had to make so many of these. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
So, okay, favorite lines and moments. I love that last line. It's the only thing stopping me from killing myself.
Yep.
I loved Yetta referring to have you heard about Miss Babcock and the male maid?
The male maid. Yep. I liked Fran being on the phone with Niles and being like, yes, it's a beautiful wedding. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Everyone's using coasters.
Yes.
I like that. That was a major concern of his is I can hear Niles in my head go, well, is everybody using coasters?
I know.
They're all using coasters. Oh, good.
Yes. I loved everything that took place in Val's car.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Sheffield saying to the son-in-law, oh, yes, I've always dreamed of my daughter marrying an underpants model.
Yes. Yes. I already said this, but I love the line where Val, like, dreamily is like, when you wish upon a star, when she's like, you're married with kids and we're going to donut shop 6 blocks closer to the subway. Yeah.
That was also, it for me.
This wasn't like a line that like necessarily cracked me up, but did you notice when she goes, Barbara, can you hear me? That of course is a Yentl reference when Barbara goes, Papa, can you hear me?
Yep.
And I would assume, you know, I don't want to assume anything. I would assume that a lot of our listeners know Yentl, but in case you don't, it is a movie starring and directed by Barbara Streisand. It is a classic, yeah. And it is about a young woman in Europe, a young Jewish woman
living in a shtetl.
Yeah, and it is probably like what, like the turn of the century. Like around the turn of the century. And her father, who is he studies Talmud and he dies, and she has always loved studying herself, but as a woman, she's not allowed. So she poses as a man in order to be able to study Torah. Yep. And it's a classic. Everyone should see it. And a lot of people feel that Barbara was robbed of the Oscar for Best Director that year. Well, do you remember? I'm pretty sure that she was the one who announced the Oscar
She announced the winner the year she lost.
No.
That's cruel. No.
I want to say it was like Catherine Bigelow or something. You know, I forget. Like, it was like the first female director, and she literally looked at it and she goes, it's about time. And then she announced a female winner. And it was kind of a nod to how like she didn't get it too.
She didn't get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Catherine Bigelow, also known as Deuce Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow, male gigolo.
Yep.
So,
okay. So that was favorite lines and moments. What else?
Then Yiddish. We had a great line. It was Mishpucha.
Mishpucha,
because basically Brighton walks in after everyone has walked out, after Maggie gets engaged, and it's just Michael and Brighton's like, what's up? And Michael's like, I mean, I just proposed to your sister, but then Fran wouldn't let your father talk. Sylvia has the ring and they all walked out. And he just goes, opening the Mispooka, bro. As if like, yeah, that's what you're getting yourself into. And it was so cute that Brighton yep. said that. Also, this isn't exactly Yiddish, but
Mispooka, you know, meaning family. Right. We've done this one before.
We also had the word hora, as in like the horizontal hora. Hora is a traditional dance performed at Jewish weddings where the newlyweds are lifted in the air while the family and friends dance in circles around them. And during the hora, the couple each hold one end of a handkerchief or napkin to signify their union.
We did that.
You did that. And so, you know, at my cousin's wedding, it was like her husband, not Jewish, our family, like, you know, Jewish side. All of the guys basically were on the not Jewish side, and none of them were Jewish. And nobody knew that you only really lift people up on chairs for like a minute, right? They were trying to do it the entire song. And I was literally afraid someone's going to have a heart attack. I wanted to be like, guys, you can let them down now. You can let them down. It was too much.
Okay.
Imagine
you just tried to hold them the whole night.
No, I'm telling you, it was far too long. And I just didn't know.
And then the bride's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And they start to walk the chair that way.
So then right. Nanny Trivia.
We have fun. We have fun here.
Hey, we have fun here. Hey, we're just joshing.
It's good now. Hey, it's good now. Okay.
Hey, we're not getting a divorce. Wouldn't it be funny if the podcast broke up 3 episodes to go?
We get in a huge fight tomorrow, and then we announce that we're not doing the final 3 episodes.
Oh my god! Okay, so this trivia, there's 2 parts. The first thing, it dovetails perfectly with this episode. I did not know this episode was coming up, but I am listening to Barbara Streisand's memoir on Audible. No affiliation, not a plug for Audible, but I will say it's a 48-hour memoir. Not kidding. It's delightful. She's an incredible narrator because she was an actress before she was.
Oh, she narrates. That's kind of fun. I like when people narrate their own memoir.
Yeah, her memoir. And a memoir. She is very, so I didn't realize that she totally dreamed of being an actress and a movie star before she even knew she had a good voice. And she was in like serious acting classes, and she was kind of ignored as a kid. Like, she was like from literally like, you know, the projects in Brooklyn. Her mom didn't pay any attention to her. And like, no one was like, you've got something, you know, special. Like, she was basically just like, I worked at this Chinese food restaurant to earn money for shoes. And then I like also did this. And then like, you know, like she, no one was paying attention to her. But so in the memoir, you know, and maybe like 5 chapters in, and she's talking about like the very, very early stages of her career where she was like 16, 17, and she was starting to get bookings like at this nightclub or that, or this act. Renee Taylor is mentioned like at least twice already.
Really?
Yes. I was like,
why? How do they know each other? They work together?
No, like Renee Taylor was also like, you know, a kind of a comedian, a performer. I don't think she was singing, but she was like, you know, they'd be like sort of on the same lineup at the night at a club. Wow. Or a little, you know, and
so Fran was just 1 degree away from Barbara this whole time.
Yes. And what, like, when you think about it, like, well, it made me just get sort of like, even a greater appreciation for, like, you know, for Renee Taylor. Because I think when we started watching this, we were just like, oh, it's the lady who was cast as Fran's mother. And we didn't really know anything about her. And then we dug a little deeper and we were like, oh my gosh, like, she actually in her own right, like, had been nominated for an Oscar for a screenplay. And oh my gosh, she had this really successful play on Broadway and blah, blah, blah. And was like a writer and a creative. And like, we kind of learned all that. And then you're like, oh, and like, she came up with like Barbara Streisand. And actually, like, I think Joan Rivers was actually mentioned as well so far. Like these other people in the scene in like the early 60s. And, you know, for Barbara Streisand to even like be like, yeah, this was a significant sort of part of my story. I was like, oh my gosh, like, so cool. It was like, I think they shared a dressing room or something. And like, she mentioned something that like Renee Taylor said to her or something. Then also it kind of reminds you like, oh, Renee Taylor's so famous in her own right that like Barbara Streisand like mentions her without even like saying who she is, like just with the understanding that like, oh yeah, like if you're aware of like who's who in this world, then you're going to know Renee Taylor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So hats off to Renee. That's so cool. And then the, you know what? I'm actually going to save the next bit of trivia for next time.
Ooh. Dun, dun, okay. Dun. Okay. What a good tease. All right. That's fun. We got to string this trivia out because we only have 3 more episodes after
Stop.
I'm so sad.
Now I'm getting flaccant.
I know. I'm getting very, I got genuinely sad this morning. I was like, aw.
We have been getting so many beautiful messages from listeners who are like really sad too. And yeah. are saying how much they've loved listening to us. And you know,
yeah,
we will have done this for literally like 3 years.
I know.
When we end. Isn't that bizarre? I know.
It is bizarre. It is, right? It's pretty crazy.
I don't know how we did it. Like, it feels like a flash. If you had told me we've been doing this for a little over a year, I'd be like, yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, we started in the pandemic, right? Let's see. I got an email in our email when I created this email account, right? I got an Apple ID, April 16th, 2021.
But that way you got an email account for us. But that, that came later. We start in early April or did we start recording in March?
Yeah, we started in March because I also got, this is when I signed up for Spotify for Podcasters. This was all on April 16th. So we must have recorded an episode and then I created everything on April 16th.
I think that the email account was the like came several like almost like a month in at least to all of this. And
yeah,
we definitely started social media earlier. And I think we had several in the can before we released. So
yeah. So if the finale airs sometime in early March, it's basically a full 3 years that we did this show. We did 6 seasons in 3 years.
It's crazy. Well, you know what? And my only real, the thing that I wish I had done differently, but I don't know how I could have, you know, we started this during COVID and I was able to really keep up with social media and I would make like little clips of like teasers for the next week. And then of course, like I had to go back to work and like work more full time. Yeah. And I think I would have like really like pushed our social media more if I had had the time and like had those teasers and really like, you know, posted every other day.
Yeah. But listen, we did the best that we could. I think we have a phenomenal audience and I think that they really have helped build a community and a fan base. And someone recently suggested to us, what if we did I Love Lucy as our next podcast?
Oh my God.
That's it.
Oh my God.
That's interesting. That's actually interesting. I don't know that there's any podcasts that deep dive into those kinds of old shows, you know?
I think we already talked about this in the last 3 years and we said it would be called I Love Lucy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah. I Love Lucy. I mean, honestly, like it's not a bad, it's that one is of all of them, of all of like the sitcoms so far. That's the one where I go like, you know what? That would be actually interesting to me to like dive into that whole era of TV, which I think is probably like very well looked over at this point, but it would be really interesting to go watch all of the Lucys in order. Kind of cool.
Oh yeah. And the trivia behind that would be fascinating too, because like there's so much behind the scenes about like what Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz as like business partners were doing, their marriage, like famously, you know, I think Desi Arnaz was like basically like the first person to be like, we're going to record this so that we can have reruns. Like he was like a visionary in that way. And things just used to air live and then it was like goodbye forever.
Six seasons.
We never saw that episode ever again.
Let's see. They did 6 seasons, what does it say? 180 episodes.
And how many of them were the nanny?
Over six.
Like 22 times six. We do this path every
season. Yeah, there's less nanny episodes because I Love Lucy's first three seasons had over 30 episodes each. So there's definitely less nannies, but
people worked like dogs. 30 episodes.
Season one had 35 episodes, dude.
And you know everyone's drunk and on uppers that whole time, like just because of the era. You know, they were smoking cigs and they were just.
God. Oh yeah, this would be fun, man. All right. Well, listen. Is that it? Oh, we didn't do Friend of the CC. Let's do the Friend of the CC. We do love our fans, and I Love Lucy is not a terrible suggestion.
No, it's a great suggestion. Yeah. It's just if we have the fortitude. So then the Friend of the CC, I wrote, I'm no one. I would not have supported this or even been the slightest bit convinced it was a good idea. And so at first I was the Mr. Sheffield, but I would have taken this disappointment to my grave if I was him.
Who was I this episode? That's it. You know, these get harder and harder as these episodes go. I guess I was Mr. Sheffield.
Yeah. 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 I mean, until
he gave in, until he completely caved. But yeah, I guess I was Mr. Sheffield because I would have, this would have been probably one of the few hard lines I would have as a parent. It's like, I don't think it's okay to get married in 5 days and run to Japan. All of it is bad.
I think, yes, it's like, here's the thing. If your kid, and I think you could probably appreciate this based on your experience. If your kid really comes to you and is like, college is not for me. This is not my path. And like, I tried it and this or that. And you like know your kid and you can kind of see that maybe it's just not right for them. To me, that is totally different than getting married at 19, which is a very permanent, like, you know, huge thing. And it's like, you don't know yourself. Well, you are still in new relationship hormones. You have not like had any real experience. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like, so to actually do that to me is crazier actually than maybe deciding that you are not a college person. And then I also think moving to a foreign country on a whim, also scary. So it's like, I think maybe the thing that I was like, kind of like going back and forth on, I actually do think that like, some kids might not be for college. And I think that like we're learning that, right? That like people's paths are different. It is actually the getting married so young that I think is the crazy part.
Agreed. I think it's the getting married so young. I mean, I also think it's the rushed. Look, not to get too deep into spoilers for the next episode, but a very similar situation happens between Brighton and Maxwell in the next episode. And I think that was actually handled well. So, all right. Well, listen, we've got so few of these left. I'm glad we decided we're going to slam the brakes and really leisurely stroll our way through these final episodes. So I hope this was fun for everybody and not boring because, we certainly meandered our way through this one.
And on that note, you know where to find us.
Yes, do that.
Oh, Mr. Chef Pod on Instagram and X. And then Mr. Sheffield Pod at gmail.com. Say hi. We love you guys. We love hearing from you. We will see you next week.
That's right.
All right, John. All right,
Toria.
Bye-bye.
And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria.